Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Aloha, everybody. Mahalo. This is Professor Gary Lee in your home again on a Tuesday evening, sharing with you some really incredible things that's going on in Sport Karate. You know, we're very honored to be able to come into your home on a Tuesday night. We've done this now for 3 years. Goodness gracious, you know. 3 years every Tuesday night to be able to talk about Sport Karate, some of the heroes, the legends, interviews with some of the incredible people that built this sport in America. Well, tonight's show is going to be very special because I'm a big part of it. It's coming up this weekend, and I actually have the producer with me and also a fellow Texas black belt. His name is Mr. Rick Arno. I'm going to bring him on in just a few minutes. But before I do, I just want to say again, thank you again for supporting this radio show and the AMAA Masters and Pioneers Radio Network. We appreciate your involvement with the Who's Who Martial Arts book. And speaking of that, we've got a new book coming out. And again, we're doing something very special. If you go to our Facebook page on Facebook, the Radio Network Facebook page, and click a like, your name will be put into a drawing. And Hansi Bowen's got some incredible prizes, including a hardcover book of the Masters and Pioneers book. And some special things right off the bat to announce is that this year's nominee to be able to be honored and put onto the book is none other than the great Stephen Hayes from Ninjutsu fame. Master Hayes has been around for many years, and we're very honored for him to be honored this year at the Legends Banquet, which will be June the 29th at the Bellagio in Las Vegas, Nevada. And special guest speakers is none other than myself and my samurai buddy, Dana Abbott. And we'll be introducing the movie concept, of the Memoirs of American Samurai. And we'll also be hosting and introducing some of the legends involved coming up. So, again, thank you again for the Who's Who in the Martial Arts book and the incredible adventure that Hansi Bowen has put us through and putting us through every year to honor these legends put together. So, again, my guest tonight is Mr. Rick Arnold. Now, when I think about Mr. Rick Arnold, I think about a great fighter, someone that really, really loves his family, someone that's really family-oriented when he teaches. But, you know, the thing about Mr. Arnold that people don't really know about, he's also a great producer. He's produced a lot of cool things. But this weekend, he has something really, really spectacular. And it's called the 2019 Ascent Black Belt Weekend. And I'm going to be bringing on Mr. Rick Arnold on in just a moment. But before I do, I want you to know that he's bringing in some incredible, incredible people. Jason Wagler will be performing at 11 o'clock, TKD Street Self-Defense. Mr. Jeff Smith will be there at 1 o'clock. And it'll be parts of how to become a black belt in business, you know, all have the mindset of a business black belt. Mr. Troy Dorsey, world champion Troy Dorsey, the only man to ever win boxing titles and world kickboxing titles and sport karate titles, will be at 5 o'clock teaching kickboxing and jiu-jitsu. And then there'll be an incredible kids seminar. And then Robbie Beard will come in with women's self-defense. And then Saturday, we've got a tournament. But you know what? Better than me telling you all about it, why not have the guy that invented it? And I'm going to bring him on right now. Mr. Rick Arnold, are you there, sir?
I am, yes, sir.
Well, goodness gracious.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to the show. Hello,
thank
how are
you? I'm great, thank you. I appreciate you inviting me on.
Well, I got to ask you off the bat, how many more gray hair you got now? How much more gray hair you got?
Well, when you put on an event like this, you got gray hair, yes, sir.
Well, you know, it's going to be an incredible event. And I'm going to walk you through it so anybody who's listening can understand what needs to be done and how they can get there and who's all involved. But let's talk about you a little bit first. I mentioned earlier in the beginning of the show that you're a Texas fighter. Well, you're a lot more than that. In introducing you to my readers or to my fans, I don't call them fans, but my listeners, this week, I put up a great fight between you and another great fighter named Mr. Ray McCallum. And that fight was part of the American Black Belt Bouts, I remember, I believe. And that was a barn burner. Best way to introduce Rick Arnold, tell me about that fight a little bit. That was an incredible fight.
You know, I met Mr. Ray McCallum when I was a kid in 1975. I started, and I watched him fight, and I was fortunate enough to watch Billy Jack Jackson test for his black belt under the Greek. And I was 12 years old, sitting there as a white belt, big-eyed, and I saw Ray McCallum. I watched him throughout my career, and I always wanted to be as good as he was. So that night was my opportunity to show him and tell him that he was a big part of my growth as a black belt and as a fighter, and I loved it. I loved every part of it.
A lot of respect was shown that night, a lot of love and respect. And then one of the most important parts was our dear friend who, rest in peace, Rooster Mackin, was banging on that floor while you guys were fighting. I picked up on that. That was something pretty cool. But, you know, you've always been in Sherman, Texas, which is right outside of Dallas. And even though Dallas is pretty close to you and all those guys from Dallas gets credit from being from Dallas, you're a Sherman, Texas guy now. How'd you end up in Sherman, Texas, Rick?
You know, my family moved here when I was four, and I just love Sherman. And so what happened was I became the guy that always competed against the Dallas guys. And they were always my inspiration, but I was never one of the Dallas guys. So I would always put teams together and we would compete against them. So me getting to fight Raymond McCallum that night was a big honor because I always wanted that was the one and only time I've ever sparred him. So it was pretty fun.
Really? Wow. That was an amazing fight, and I'm glad I got to share that with a lot of the people who follow me. Now, you've been a great coach, too, and we're going to talk about your family here in a minute, but you've done something pretty cool. I immediately think about Deidre Spencer. I think about Linda Maxwell. I think about some really incredible people that you've trained, and you've been a part of working with them. As a coach, you feel that's a real big difference from being a competitor, and how does it intermix?
You know, I was always a better coach than I was a competitor, and the truth is that I really didn't think of myself as a coach. We just worked out together. We just had fun. We just loved what we did and still do. And I just was fortunate enough to run into that young man named Deidre Spencer that had probably more talent than anybody that I've ever met ever in the history of my training. And what happened was as a fighter and as a athlete, he directed the majority of my students to be great like he was. So at one time we had 48 students that could sit in the full splits and about 15 of them could pop back out of the full splits. So when you have talent like that, we were able to win quite a few things throughout those years, that 10 or 15 years together.
Well, you know what's really cool? I got to tell you a Deidre Spencer story. I did a couple gigs with BET, you know, the Black Entertainment Network, and one of them was in Dallas. It was at the Dallas Convention Center. And I remember calling up Deidre, and he didn't hesitate. He stayed up there for 2 days with me, didn't leave my side, and did all the shows with me. And it was a lot of fun. And you're right. He was very, very talented, not only in competition, but just being very, very intellect and smart as far as a fighter goes.
Sure.
So I like him a lot. Now, let's talk about your family a little bit. Now, you've got an incredible family. In fact, all your family members train. And let's start with your wife. Now, she's trained for all these years, and something very special happened. She's tested for black belt and made first degree black belt after all these years of training, right?
Well, you know, it's kind of a story now. What
okay.
happened was, long story short is that yes, I noticed years ago that the guys that I competed with, their boys, their kids, they didn't do martial arts. And I always thought that was odd. How come they didn't do martial arts? So I made a hardcore turn and went to this Taekwondo groups, and that allowed my children to go around the world and compete. And so my wife, first of all, she would start taking martial arts, get a belt or two, and then she'd have a baby. And then she'd start martial arts again and get one or two and have another baby. And we did that four times. And in that window of time, we were able to travel around the world. So my children have experienced competition in Italy and London and Scotland and all over the world. And we've just enjoyed it as a family. So as my children have grown now, they're 15, 17, 20, and 22. They're grown, and my wife said, you know what, it's my turn. And I'm so, so thankful. You know, you asked me about my faith. God blessed me with an amazing wife. And she decided that she wanted to make a black belt, and she trained her butt off. A lot of people don't know this, but we have old school black belt testing. And Monday night we have a 2-hour training and we get scored. And then Tuesday night, another 2-hour training and we get scored. And then Wednesday night, another 2-hour training and then we get scored. And then Thursday night, another 2-hour training and we get a score. And then Saturday, they go through about a 4-hour test. And it's full throttle and it's hardcore and it's old school black belt style. And unfortunately, on the third night this past week, my wife twisted her ankle. And she's on a crutches now. And we are so upset. Yeah, nobody knows that, but she's on crutches. And so we are going to present her an honorary black belt. She has not earned her first degree. She's not going to wear her black belt yet. But when her ankle heals and when she can fully test in July, then she's going to test for her first degree black belt. But and it's just unfortunate. We had one of our students, she twisted her ankle and another one twisted his knee, all in the same week. And we've not had injuries, knock on wood, but we've not had injuries in our school in 10 years. And we had two the same night. And long story short is they're all going to be there. They're all going to promote. We have a beautiful and amazing show that we're going to put on. But
Before we get to the show, we talked about your lovely wife. I want to go through the kids, okay? Then we're going to talk about the show. Let's start with the oldest first. Who's the oldest, and tell me a little bit about them.
Yeah, Haley, she started martial arts when she was three. Her name's Haley Lynn.
That's my new nickname.
Amazing
for her.
Haley.
Amazing Haley. Yes.
She's now 22, got her degree in psychology, and she is a go-getter. There's nobody that I know that works harder than her or is more dedicated to the martial arts. She trains.
And on the show that we had a couple of weeks ago, she said that she went through a little trial.
Yes, sir.
And really, God blessed her to get her back involved, and she went up in rank two, this test too, right? Correct?
That's exactly right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Now, who's next in line? Who's next in line? Tell me about it.
My next one is my boy, and he's born on my birthday, so that was pretty special.
The bass fisherman.
He's 20 years old.
Bass fisherman.
Yeah, he's a bass fisherman. Last week he broke 6 boards with a sidekick, so that'll tell you. Not a step sidekick, a defensive sidekick. So that'll tell you how strong he is. And, he is a pretty amazing kid. I don't want to brag, but let me tell you, I'm pretty proud of that young man.
There you go. Brag a little bit. Now, next in line. Going down the line.
Yeah, my daughter. Today is her 17th birthday. And, her name is Peyton. Yep. Peyton Elizabeth. She's 17 today. And
I wish I had a birthday earlier.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Same about her karate, though. She's been doing karate since she was a baby, too, huh?
Yeah, she's done it all her life. And we went over to Scotland, and she did not make the team to compete in Scotland the first year. And, boy, that ticked her off. And so the next year we went to Florida to some championships in Florida, and she cleaned up. And then the next year we went to Scotland, and she made the team and won gold medals. So, you know, sometimes when you don't make the team, that's the best thing that could ever happen to you. But her story is that she stepped in a hole while we were fishing, by the way. She stepped in a hole and tore her knee. And it's crazy because she's a cheerleader and she plays basketball and volleyball, but she stepped in a hole and tore her knee up, and she's had two knee surgeries on it, and praise God, it is completely healed, and she's great, and you're going to see her perform this coming weekend. So she's doing
fantastic. I can't wait. Now, next in line. Yep. Next in line.
Yep. It's our baby. Our baby. She's 15. Her name's Alyssa Riley, and she is an amazing black belt. Wait till you see her spar. And also, right now, she plays competitive volleyball, so she's very into volleyball and the big leagues right now, where the coaches are already looking at them for college scholarships, and she's only 15 years old. So she's a pretty amazing girl. We're pretty proud.
Well, we've got the black belt Texas karate family that I got to introduce one-on-one. That was my my theme of my show tonight in my heart. I wanted to make sure that all the kids were covered. Now, is there something very special that's happening this week besides this event? You just bought a brand new home, correct?
Well, we're in the process of restoring a home and moving into it, yes. And that has been a nightmare.
That's great.
Yes,
that's great. So it comes in a wave, doesn't it? You get a new home, you got a big event. But you're not just got a big event. You're bringing in some heavy hitters, as we call them. And two particular guys right off the bat is Bill Wallace and Jeff Smith, who was the first 1974 world champions, but heroes of both of ours, but heroes of yours personally. And you've also got your best friend in the world, I know, Troy Dorsey, coming in. But you got some other people, and I don't want to just focus on those guys. Tell me some of the incredible people that you're coming in to do the seminars first, and then we'll talk about the people you're going to be honoring. The seminars.
Who
are you bringing up for seminars?
Seminars. There's a young man named Jason Wadley, and I don't know if you know anything about him or not.
Yes.
But he's competed and taught in 17 countries. And he's been all over the world in martial arts, been in it 40 years. And so he's going to teach. We're excited about that. Immediately following him is the world-famous Jeff Smith. Then you've got Robbie Beard. You've got Jason Warren. Robbie Beard is on the Maya board, and Robbie Beard's amazing with the lady self-defense. And then Jason Warren is fantastic, is even on the NASCAR circuit. He has young men that and women that compete in weapons and XMA, and he's going to do an amazing seminar. And then Troy Dorsey, you know, years and year friend, longtime friend, you know, world champion in stand-up, but he's going to teach jiu-jitsu also. And you know, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty impressed. He was a world champion in kickboxing and boxing, and then spent 11 years on the ground and earned his black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So he's one of my heroes.
Are you kidding me? You don't remember
two years
ago, little brother, you don't remember 2 years ago when we got to test him for his ninth dot, and he got to roll and fight Ishmael?
Oh, yeah.
And that was, Troy
Dorsey
is not only a real deal, he's a role model for all of us just to look up to
every day.
That's some of the seminars that's going on. That's throughout the day on Friday, on the 18th,
right.
And that's going to be actually where that's going to be at. That's going to be at the Choctaw Casino, correct?
Right. But it's not in the casino. The activity center across the street is 1,000 square feet across the street from the casino. It's called Choctaw Activity Center. There's no cigarette smoke. It's absolutely gorgeous. Everybody's going to love it.
Well, I understand that you're also bringing in the Sport Karate Museum, and we're going to be having a booth there and set up some really incredible memorabilia throughout the 20 years that we've been doing the museum, and we appreciate that so much. But you also got some vendors coming in. Who are some of the people that's going to be there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, our big one is, you know, we've got Sleep Number beds. We've got dealerships here in the community, but we've got Jason Neef with Kicksight, and he just does a fantastic job of helping these school owners manage and organize their schools. And so we're excited about Jason Neef coming in. But real quickly, you know, years and years ago when I was 14 years old, I had a picture on my wall and it was a picture of Joe Louis, Bill Wallace, and Jeff Smith, and you might remember that. They had on the red, white, blue gi tops and had the trophies. Well, I had that on my wall, and now we get to have them at our event. Of course, obviously, Joe Louis has passed, but Jeff Smith and Bill Wallace are going to be there. So you can just imagine how excited I am because, you know, I mean, golly, 14 years old, and I've loved them all my life. So,
and you've also got the legend godfathers of Texas karate, Mr. Alan Steen and J. Pat Burleson in the same room together.
Those
pretty
are,
amazing.
Yeah, they're my friends. I've never had a black belt test without Master Burleson on the board. So he's been in my life. You know, and by the way, Royce Young is like a grandfather to me. He is my role model for martial arts overall. And you know, my very first karate instructor ever, Mr. Mickey Martinkus, is going to be there from years and years ago. My second instructor, Mr. Ronnie Clark. Ronnie Clark's going to be there. And then Royce Young is my third and final. Royce Young has been my instructor since 1982. So,
you know what, little brother? You know, I'll tell you what Goosebumps is. Goosebumps is remembering Mr. Tony and Mr. Young sitting beside each other at Garrett's test. And them sitting there and understanding that a small child, and that's what Garrett was, could actually maybe not have the power as what people think a black belt should have, but would have the knowledge. And for him, for Mr. Young to sign Garrett's certificate, it was very honorable. I know what you mean. And we're talking about Royce Young, who is one of the legends of Texas karate, one of the oldest karate instructors we have in the state.
He taught in Dallas. Yeah, 42 years.
Yes.
Same location.
Now, you've got a couple other guys coming in that I know that are real well known, and that's Dr. Ted Gamardella and Dr. Keith Yates. And those guys are pretty cool guys. I mean, they're coming in, I understand.
This is the who's who.
I heard a rumor.
If you add, go ahead. If you add guys like Al Garza, Cox, William Shelton, Roy Kirvin, Phil Wyman, I mean, the list just goes on and on. Jamie Cashin is going to be our announcer. He is absolutely off the chain great. So it's going to be a big weekend.
Now, tell me about the tournament on Saturday, which people can compete in. And also, it's a qualifier, I believe, for your group. Or just tell me about it.
Yeah. Well, every year in July, we put on a taekwondo tournament in Shreveport, Louisiana, and it is amazing. And we usually have between 600 and 1,000 competitors. And this qualifies students to get to go to that in the summer and compete in that event. So it's going to be a great tournament. I'm very, very, very thankful that a friend of ours named Dewey Sutton, one of the greats of the AOK from years ago. Dewey Sutton came up under Grandmaster Pat Burleson, and Dewey Sutton's going to direct our tournament. So we know that it's going to be extremely organized, extremely professional. We have all the referees that have already been selected, all the center referees and the judges, and the whole thing's going to be first class. So if they want to do
a
tournament,
really cool.
This
and
is
remember,
a great
remember
yeah.
when you get when you get Mr. Sutton in the corner, you give him a big old hug and tell him that Gary Lee recommended him. So, and
it's
going to be really cool, little brother. And I can call you my little brother because, you know, like I said earlier, people went by their heads. You call me Uncle Us, and there's a reason for that. You guys kind of adopted me a few years back, and I've kind of watched the kids grow up to be who they are. And
I'm
so proud to not only be a part of this weekend, but for you to be part of what I created 20 years ago, the Sport Karate Museum. Now, I'm going to come and bring you back on here in just a few minutes, and we're going to play the Legends Name Game, and I'm going to throw some names at you, some of them you talked about earlier, but we're going to kind of go in depth a little bit, your relationship with them and how much they've influenced you. And we're also going to talk about your relationship with someone with a higher power that we're going to introduce to the people who
I like
for the first time. I'm looking forward to talking to you about that, and I'm going to bring you on in just probably about 10 minutes after I get done with the Wolverine. We got a subject we're going to be talking
about
tonight. So stay tuned, and I'll bring you back on in a few minutes. Okay, little brother?
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. We're talking with Mr. Rick Arnold, the producer of the Black Belt Show at the Ascent at Choctaw Reservoir Reservation and Casino. This is in Durant, Oklahoma, and this is this weekend, January the 18th and 19th. And this is going to be an incredible event, not only with seminars and tournament, but just a lot of fun. So we'll be bringing back Mr. Rick Arnold in just a few minutes. Well, I want to make sure that my my adversary or my friend, my student is on the other line. Is Mr. Wolverine on the line? Mr. Piles, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'm here.
Hey. Well, first of all, I want to say praise God that you're okay. I know that you've gone through a very, very traumatic experience, and I don't want to bring up a bad memory, but just share with my listeners what you've been through these past few days and what you came about without, you know, just kind of share with before we go into our subject tonight, please.
Well, I had taken my daughter back to Virginia, so that's a 30-hour round-trip drive that I made. And then when I got home, after being home for about an hour and being up for 30 hours, my house caught on fire. So that was a pretty traumatic experience. I mean, you know, of course, fires do a lot of damage. I'm just glad that the rest of my family was okay. And, you know, my fiance, she's been a huge help, staying right there by me, working and helping get things back to normal and helping, you know, during the fire also. You know, so, yeah, it was pretty bad experience there. Not one that,
well,
that I look
I'm glad
going
you're safe. I'm glad you're safe. And like I said, one of the things that we talked about was that you were prepared for that situation that hopefully never would happen. But you told me over the phone when it first happened that you were prepared for it. And if you weren't aware of certain things, things could have went the other way. And that's kind of like our subject tonight. And that subject is, you know, being prepared for your peak performance. But if something happens, and as we say in to the world, Murphy's Law, what's going to happen will happen. And if you don't expect it to happen, it will kick your rear end. But if you expect it to happen and you deal with it, then it's not so bad. But most people aren't prepared. Most people just assume that that's the way it's going to be, and if something happens, then that's the way it is. Well, I know most people who are very successful, not just in business, but in the martial arts, they always prepare for the thing that maybe will not happen, and they see it in their mind. They play it over and over again. They even have scenarios maybe. I remember just an incident that if I got hit by somebody pretty consistent with that same technique, I would go back to the dojo, grab a guy his same size, teach him that technique so he would hit me with it. So eventually when I fight that guy again, he would never hit me with that same technique. Now, he may beat me, and people did, but they wouldn't hit me with the same technique they beat me with before. That
right.
is being prepared. That is being prepared for Murphy's Law, that what's not going to happen, well, what's going to happen will happen. And I want to just not dwell on the fire, but you said that you were going to go take something about a shower or something. Explain to me what happened then. If you hadn't did something or another, it could have been a lot worse. Explain to me about how you prepared.
Well, I mean, you know, yeah, I was getting ready to get in the shower, but, you know, I heard a pop, and then I knew, you know, it sounded weird. And then, you know, when we investigated it, we realized I opened the door to the laundry room and the garage, and it was just engulfed in flames. You know, but the main thing is staying calm. And when you stay calm, you know, then you can deal with a tragic situation a lot better and with a more clear, level head. And by doing that, you know, we all pulled together because everybody remained calm, and we were able to at least get enough water and stuff on a lot of stuff to keep the fire from spreading and taking the whole house. So, you know, but it was just like I say, because of remaining calm. And like you say, being prepared and being prepared for the unexpected and making sure that when something unexpected does happen, you remain calm. Just like in fighting, I try to tell my students, you know, you may be weathering a storm. You may, meaning your combatant may be flurrying you, you know, hitting you with a flurry, and you may feel like, oh, I'm overwhelmed. Remain calm. Take a deep breath. Keep your head clear. That'll keep you in the game more so than panicking. Panicking will make the problem even bigger, possibly get you injured or have more damage done. In this case, panicking would have, had more damage done to the house than what we had. But, staying calm is one of the key things that you have to do for everything you do, especially in competing, is, staying calm and remaining focused.
You mentioned fighting. I'll, because you know me, I'm a fanatic in kata. I used to train every day, in the fact, on my second kata, preparing that if I tied or I had to do a different form, and some tournament circuit said you had to do a different form, mandatory. Some tournaments said you had to do the same form over, but I always prepared for having to do the second form. So I really mentally prepared that the second form was actually better than the first. So there would be no doubt to break the tie. Now, I'm saying that's the situation. A lot of whatever, win or lose, I was prepared for that situation because I premeditated it, and I realized that if I didn't premeditate it, if I was happy and I wasn't prepared for that second kata, then I didn't deserve the win. I didn't deserve the grand. So I believe being prepared is really important. And expecting, again, that word Murphy's Law, again, for people who don't understand what that is, that means that something's going to happen, and it probably will happen, but if you're not prepared for it, if you're not ready to handle it, then you won't be able to handle it the proper way that it should be handled. So you prepare for it. You don't, right. It's kind of like an insurance policy. You know, I used to sell, believe it or not, I used to sell karate too. And one of the things I used to say was the best insurance policy you could have is learning martial arts. It's like buying an insurance policy. You pay for insurance for your house, your car, your health. Hopefully you never have to use it. You never get in a car accident. You never have to be sick, hopefully. But if you have insurance, you paid for it, and the same thing in martial arts, you've earned it, you've worked hard, then when you do have to cash it in, then it's there. And that's what preparation is. So I'm not going to scream at you tonight. This subject is not about a screaming match. This subject is that you're safe and that you're able to go home every night from your dojo, and I hope you do the best, and we'll keep informed your progress. I hope that everything works out for you, brother. You know that.
Yeah, it's just adapt, improvise, and overcome. That's the motto I try to live by. And, you know, like I say, you're exactly right with Murphy's Law. It's that expect the unexpected, because that's probably what's going to happen.
Right.
So you're exactly right about all that.
Well, you know, I do have you on the air. Before I go back to my special guest tonight, I want to hit you in the face with the right cross that you didn't block. I think it's going to be really cool. You know, the Sport Karate Museum, and especially the vision that I've had these years, has been really pretty real lucky. But now that I've got people like Colonel Phil Torres and you, Mr. Piles, and Paul Pawala, and Jason Brooks, all of a sudden, I've got this tactical genius group that I've kind of put together. And now Mr. Pawala is bringing in someone very special, the founder and owner of Spartan Tactical Gear, one of the largest tactical gear representatives in the country, the founder. And they'll be actually at the Super Show this year. But this year at the Kata Wars, at the Living Legends, I'm going to have a very unique tactical flair. So you're not going to be able to – I don't want you to teach your regular self-defense, which is, you know, you calm it down for me because I ask you to do that every year. I want to do something a little special this year. I want the guys I bring in to do the seminars to be impressive to the service guys and to the police officers that will be coming. So you get to be the Dean Piles that I love and dearly. So that should excite you a little bit, huh?
Yeah, yeah, that's exciting, yeah, because, you know, normally when we teach the public combatives, it's different than what we teach the special forces or law enforcement. So it'll be good to give them a little glimpse of what it's like. And, you know, and with what we're going to do, we're going to make sure that we teach a variety of things because you have a good group of people that are specialists in a lot of different areas. So what we're going to do with our seminar is kind of bring everything together, which is handgun retention and disarmament, you know, of weapons and empty hands.
So that's what I'm saying. When people say the word tactical, little brother, Wolverine, they think immediately guns. They think knives. They don't understand that it is a mixture, a world within the world. It's a deep, deep suit.
Right.
And I like that idea. But there'll be specialized people. You know, like Mr. Pawala, who is the specialized U.S. Army Special Forces, and Mr. Brooks, and, of course, Mr. Torres. And also, Mr. Pawala is bringing in some pretty cool special people that are martial artists in a sense, but also highly trained in what we're talking about in the world of tactical field. So I wanted to kind of tease you a little bit with that, and I look forward to seeing you, talking to you next week. We'll keep in touch about your progress and about what's going on. And again, I'm really thankful that you're safe. So
thanks.
God bless you, Wolverine. I'll talk to you real soon, okay? Okay,
yes, sir.
Aloha, buddy.
Aloha.
Hey, everybody, that was the Wolverine. And again, we normally do subjects that we're screaming at each other. Not in a bad way. That's just the way of our communication. We both of us like to scream. In a kabuki type of way, but again, keep them in your prayers because that's the worst thing you could think that could happen, coming home in your home be engulfed in flames. I also understand they lost all his uniforms, so I hope his birthday's here real soon. I'm sure that someone's going to get him a new uniform. The neat thing about Mr. Piles is that I know he's a champion's champion. And he will recover and get stronger from this, literally. Well, I'm going to bring back my special guest now, and that's Mr. Rick Arnold, the producer of the 2019 Ascent Black Belt Weekend in January the 18th and 19th in Choctaw Casino and Resort in Durant, Oklahoma. Mr. Arnold, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Well, you know, I enjoyed this so much when I first started the show 3 years ago, and actually I got to blame Mr. Bob White. We invented this. It was called the Legends Name Game. And this is where I hit you with a name, and just like a fight, about 2 minutes, you get to tell me about that person, and we try to hit as many names as we can. And in that 2 minutes time, if I have a little history with them, I kind of throw my little 2 cents in, but we're going to talk about some people that influenced you or I believe that might have guided you away. We talked a little bit about it beforehand, but I really want to talk about the Legends Name Game. Are you ready to play the game?
I'm ready, yes, sir.
Here we go. George Minshew.
George Minshew is like a great uncle to me. I fought on his team in Mexico, and I love that man.
Okay. Anything else? Because he's listening right now. He's going to say, he didn't say enough about me.
One of the biggest goals I ever had was to win his tournament, the Karate Olympics, and I won a Karate Olympic ring one time. I whooped Rooster Mackin and Carl Whitaker all the same day, and it was an amazing day. George Minshew, I love you.
Absolutely. Let's talk about some of those guys we talked about earlier, and we just kind of touched them a little bit. Mr. Alan Steen, the person that, you know, under Mr. Gene Reed kind of created a network of fighters throughout the country. But how did Mr. Steen influence you?
I came up after Mr. Steen. I just have admired him all my life because he produced guys like Skipper Mullins and Ed Daniel and all of those greats. And I saw him on video more times than you can count, watching the way he fought. And he's just been a great, great, great role model for how to produce really, really good fighters.
What about someone that I'm very proud to be part of his lineage, Mr. Minshew, but you mentioned him earlier. And I'm going to tell you a story about him soon after you talk about him. But Mr. J. Pat Burleson, the first national American quad champion. Tell me about your relationship with Mr. Burleson.
Yeah, my relationship with Mr. Burleson started in 1976, and I love him like a grandpa. And I watched him as a promoter, as a mentor, as a friend. I watched him, and he's so kind-hearted, and he looks kind of gruff on the outside, but he's a big teddy bear if you get to know him. And he's been at every test I've ever had. He has criticized me when I fought. I fought on a team, Dallas versus Fort Worth, and we fought Fort Worth. And long story short is Mr. Pat Burleson is one of the greatest men that I've ever met in my life. He is.
Well, you know, I've been trying to think about what year it was, little brother, but I'm going to remind you, and you can help me because it was your event. You produced it, and you brought me in, and we performed, I believe, at a high school on their stage, and you had Mr. Burleson there. It was in the early 90s. Can you remember that back then?
Yeah.
What year was that?
I hosted a tournament, the Blue Bonnet, the Texas Blue Bonnet Championships every year for about 13 years, and I believe you came in probably at 88, 89, or 90, and 91 maybe, and Pat Burleson was at every one of those.
Well, he came up to me. And I'll never forget, he had that huge national ring. And I, of course, that was really the second time I think I ever met him. The first time was through George. And I said, Mr. Burleson, may I just look at that ring? He took it off his finger, and he actually put it on my hand, little brother. And I got to wear that ring for just a few moments. And I remember that moment because he signed my belt. He signed my belt. Now, years later, because of Mr. Jamie Cashin, I was promoted with Mr. Harrison and Mr. Burleson to my 9th-degree black belt. So I cherish that moment that because of your event, you know, Mr. Burleson literally, you know, that was a start. So God bless you. Now, let's talk about some of the stuff you mentioned.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, sir. Please.
I saw when I walked into school one time. When I walked into school one time, I saw a picture of him and Bruce Lee, and Bruce Lee had signed it to my close friend, J. Pat Burleson. And I knew that if he knew Bruce Lee, then he was a friend of mine.
Well, you know what I'm doing? Also, part of the memorabilia I'm bringing Bruce Lee's birth certificate so people can actually see that. So you mentioned Bruce Lee. Now, also, you mentioned another guy that, you know, was a great fighter, won the top referee in tackle for all those years, Mr. Phil Wyman. He'll be there. Tell me a little bit about Phil.
Phil Wyman, every kickboxing match I ever had, he worked my corner and I won. And the reason I won, first of all, Greek was refereeing and I didn't want to let Greek down. And Phil Wyman was working my corner and I sure didn't want to let him down. And I always tried to sidekick like Phil Wyman. I wanted to be able to sidekick as hard as he could. And he did a seminar at my school last month. And I had about 30 black belts on the floor, and he just lit the whole place up. They didn't want him to leave. He was so good. And now, he's in his 70s, and they didn't want him to leave. They kept saying, is it already over? Does he have to leave now?
Yeah, he's exciting. He's very electric, Mr. Wyman is, without a doubt.
Real deal.
You know, absolutely. And you mentioned the sidekick. My coach in the early 80s, rest in peace, Ernie Radar Smith, he told me that Mr. Wyman literally had the hardest sidekick he ever been hit with. He said
right.
That to me. Yeah.
Right.
pretty tough. Now, you've been around people around the world, but I want to ask you a question. Who's been your toughest opponent that fought Rick Arnold in your mind?
Rooster. Rooster.
Rooster Mackin. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, for people who don't know Rooster Mackin, Rooster was the first national American champion at his junior age. Also, the first Golden Greek winner. And We lost him last year. But tell me about a particular fight you had in Rooster, or a memory that you have with fighting Rooster particularly. Was there any particular fight?
I fought Rooster more times than I could count, and what happened was is I'd start whooping him real good, and I'd start smiling. And when I would smile, it'd make him mad, and he would come back and whoop me. And he never told me how he always came back and whooped me till he'd already whooped me like five or six times in a row. And he said, I'm going to help you. He said, I'm going to help you, brother. Every time that you smile at me, it makes me mad, and I'm going to come and get you. And he used to say that he would, he might lose the battle, but he's going to win the war. And, you know, Rooster was my friend. When you watch that video of me fighting Raymond, Rooster's beating on the mat. He's cheering for me, not Raymond.
Oh, yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
he was my friend.
Well, you know, we got to honor and roast Rooster a few years back. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize this. His mom and dad, God bless her, they would drive to Houston, the Six Flags Astroworld, drop off Rooster for the weekend. And I would take care of him for 2 days, and he would do the shows with me. And he did all the performances, all the early shows in the early 80s. He was a good guy, but he was a great fighter. So I appreciate you mentioning Rooster. Now, let me ask you a question. Yep. Who was the smartest fighter you ever fought? Not the toughest,
Tim
but
Kirby.
The smartest guy.
Tim Kirby.
Tim Kirby had
the ability to pick you apart before he ever got in the ring. He knew what you were going to throw. He could tell you, and he got it from Raymond, but he could tell you whether you were going to use your left leg or your right leg before you did it. And Tim Kirby would sit with me for hours and tell me how to watch for people and how to set people up and timing and distance and why I shouldn't do what I'm doing. You know, so yeah, Tim Kirby was the man for me personally.
Well, you know, Mr. Kirby was an incredible fighter. And for people who don't realize it, Mr. Kirby was actually the first Golden Greek winner when they decided to give out the Golden Greek Award. You know, he was also a great kickboxer. Now, you mentioned kickboxing. I forgot to mention that to my listeners. You weren't just a point fighter. You also experimented in the art of full contact and kickboxing, correct?
Yes, sir. When they changed the rules and they made you get disqualified for blood, I lost 7 tournaments in a row. And my dad looked at me and said, time for you to kickbox. So I started kickboxing. And every time that Greek would referee, I wanted to win, of course, for Greek. And so those first five fights were really good matches, and I was fortunate enough to win in the first round. And long story short is that the kickboxing went really, really well until I lost my first fight in front of my grandmother. And she didn't want me to fight anymore. And she threw a big fit because I got knocked out. And so I guess my point is that we have the agony of defeat, and we also have the thrill of victory. And, you know, when we were fighting years ago, the only difference between kickboxing and point fighting was you took your top off. You just took your shirt off, and then you could kickbox. And that's what we thought. And long story short is the kickboxing was just a normal flow of our point fighting events, you know?
Right, absolutely. Well, I got to ask about a lady before I go into my next subject. And that lady, of course, people have said, magazine editors, producers, black belts, peers for over 2 or 3 decades, the greatest woman fighter ever. Some people have said the greatest fighter ever. And I'm talking about Miss Linda Denley. Do you have a relationship with Linda?
I love Linda Denley. She was a wonderful role model to me. As a matter of fact, when I was a young buck and running wild, she would pray over our food. And if I said a cuss word, she would reprimand me. And if I tried to drink something, she would get on me. And the reason I'm telling you that story is because I love her. And every time that I think about martial arts and Christ, her name pops up. Because she's the one who would pray over food, and I always thought, I want to be like that. I want to be that bold. I want to be that strong in my faith that God comes first. And she did that for me. She really did. I appreciate that.
Well, you know, Miss Denley is a super, super person, as you said, lady of the Lord. But one of the things I got to throw in that I'm really proud of, I'm the only black belt pitcher in her school that's not her black belt that's on the wall. And, you know, she used to travel 40 miles one way just to my first fight club. You're the only woman there. And just an amazing, amazing athlete and fighter. But you mentioned her love of the Lord, and I want to talk about that for a moment. I know that he's a big part of your life. Share with me how he's influenced you on this event and your life in general.
Well, when I was 34 years old, that's been a while, I got in this thing called Texas Hall of Fame and Man of the Year, and Troy Dorsey was there and a whole bunch of them. There's about 1,000 people in tuxedos that night in Waco, Texas. And I got up there and got my award and gave my little acceptance speech. And I come off that stage. My mom and dad were there, and my wife's mom and dad were there. And I looked at my wife and I said, if this is success, if this is what it's all about, then I quit. Because all I wanted to do was walk off that stage and drink beer. And that night I got drunk and was just miserable as a person, because I had done the kickboxing. I'd won a bunch of titles and I'd won a bunch of trophies, and I'd gotten a lot of accolades from martial arts, but it did not fulfill me. And on a Tuesday morning, I showed up on this preacher's doorstep, and I knocked on his door, and he come out, and I taught his son. He didn't even know me. And I taught his son, and I sat on the porch with him for 2 hours and just cried and gave my heart to Christ. And I can tell you that was the beginning of my life as not only a husband, but a friend, as a mentor, as a father. And, you know, when I realized that with the material things of this world, then God opened all those doors, and he gave me my wonderful wife, and he gave me 4 wonderful children that he's trusted us with. And he's just created the life. I mean, most people would like to have my life, because he's so good to us. We give him all the credit.
Well, that's very special, very special. You know, you mentioned when you think about certain people, certain things come to mind. And when I think about you, Rick Arnold, I think about sitting in your little kitchen at 2 o'clock in the morning and praying with you and sharing with you our vision. And, you know, no one knows a person's vision except God. And he allows us to be within his glory. Now, one of the things that, as you mentioned, you know, giving your life to him and making him the power, I understand really deeply about that. And I enjoyed the fact that you got to share that on the show to some of the listeners that really appreciate that. You know, you mentioned another friend of mine and a friend of yours, and someone that we actually did something together in a very spiritual way. You brought us in to an event, for a church event. And we're talking about Troy Dorsey. You know, it's not normal unless I get a scripture or a verse from Troy Dorsey weekly. You know,
me too.
How's Troy? I hear you. Praise God. Tell me how Troy has influenced you, and what was he like growing up being your friend?
Well, you got to remember, you know, Troy Dorsey and I, we go way back, but we were never really friends. He was the Dallas crowd, and I was Sherman. And actually, we bumped into each other in 1984 at a Van Halen concert. So that'll tell you, we said hi to each other, but that was about it. And, you know, years later, I got on this kickboxing team, and I got to travel to DeSoto, Texas, and be on his team. And we competed, and the very first match that I had on his team, I got knocked out for the very first time. and I was devastated, and Greek yelled at me, and long story short is that I was miserable, and I didn't even hang around Mr. Dorsey for years because I was so embarrassed that I felt like I let him down because I lost in that kickboxing match. We were a little kickboxing team called the Dallas Broncos. And long story short is Troy Dorsey has been one of my heroes all my life. And I always wanted to be as good as he was. And you know, remember I told you, he's part of that Dallas crowd. You know, he was great friends with Ray McCallum. He was great friends with all of these world-famous people. You know, Billy Jack Jackson and all of these people were, you know, they just accepted Troy, Mr. Dorsey, to me. And long story short is that he accepted Christ in his life. And he and I are the same age. We share a birthday. We're a month apart. So we're the same age, kind of grew up together. And as we grew up, I had a little kickboxer that turned pro, and Mr. Dorsey helped me get him to turn pro. And I found out that his parents were very similar to my parents, and we just were like-minded in that respect. And as he fell in love with the Lord, I was growing in my faith also. And he and I just had that connection of we love the Lord, and we also love martial arts. And we also love helping people and being good servants. And so what happened is that he and I have, he sends me scriptures, I send him scriptures. We're not the closest of friends, like call up and talk for hours. However, he is an excellent, wonderful role model for me. I'll tell you, his wife took a picture of him one morning, and she put it on Facebook of him on his knees praying. And I couldn't stop crying for 20 minutes because I want to be that man. I want to know the Lord like I believe Troy Dorsey knows the Lord. And, you know, I was just so thankful that we have a Christian role model like that, that happens to be a world champion, that happens to be one of the greatest fighters in the history of the world, and even decided to give up stand-up and go all the way to the ground and train 3 days a week, 2 hours a day, for 11 years to become a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt. And, I mean, he earned a real black belt. He didn't get that thing given to him. And so, you know, his faith, you know, he sends me scriptures, you know, not me. He sends everybody scriptures. And you can't talk to him for 10 minutes without him talking about the Lord. And I think that's what God does to us. When we love the Lord, when we are passionate about what we're supposed to be passionate about, it just spills out into all parts of our lives. And I've been to Mr. Dorsey's school, and what a cool place he's got there in little bitty Mansfield, Texas. And anyway, he's just been a really, really big motivator and influence in my life all these years. I mean, since I was 15 years old.
Wow. Brian Ulsh, that's his name. I was trying to think of his
Brian
name.
Ulsh.
Brian Ulsh.
That's right. Yeah,
Brian Ulsh.
Brian
brought,
Ulsh brought
you,
us all
you the
in.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's right.
That's right. And I remember for 2 years, he supplied the Living Legends with a bracelet that had a verse on it.
Is that right?
Yes. Amen.
That sounds
Amen.
Like him.
Yeah, now,
he's one of Mr. Dorsey's black belts.
Us. And now another man that, again, lives his life for the Lord and understands there's a high power, and we've shared very deeply about this. And you were saying he's your special master of ceremonies, Mr. Jamie Cashin. How's Jamie affected you being a part of your life?
Oh.
You know?
Well, you know, I never knew him. I never knew him as a black belt. I never knew him as a competitor. I really never knew him. And all I knew was.
Did you meet him
at
my event, or where'd you meet him at?
I really don't know. I don't know. But his personality is.
Yeah. It's unique.
Yeah. His personality is so electric. He just walked up and gave me a big old hug, said he'd heard all about me. And that was about it. And then I'm a little reserved around people at first. And
but remember the
I
big
really
test I had. Remember the big test I had where
that's
everybody
right.
came in.
Yes.
And
Mr. Dan
he,
Anderson
he,
tested
we,
for
we
his 10th
close.
Degree.
back then, and I talked to Jamie, and I told him about everybody that was there. And he made it clear he wanted to know about everybody that was there that was friends with Mr. Burleson. So there was, what, 30 people on that board that night? So
yes, sir.
Jamie knew more about you than you realized. But he's been a big
part of Dan Anderson. Was. Yep.
Yes, that was Dan Anderson's test. Exactly. Absolutely.
Right.
But, you know, Jamie Cashin is the real deal, too. A lot of people think he can't be that happy. He's happy because he understands what God has done for him and God does for him every day. I've never seen, I have seen a couple people, but not here in Texas, as much as Jamie Cashin be the Samaritan and the giver back of people that he has. I literally, if I started writing it down, you know what? I tell you what, I remember one time I was so bored flying to Las Vegas. This is a true story. Sometimes I would think about certain people, about what they've done for me to get to the Sport Karate Museum level. And I remember thinking about Jamie halfway to the flight to Las Vegas, of all the things that we've accomplished together. So he's an amazing, amazing person. I'm glad that he's a big part of your show.
Yes, sir.
You know, Rick Arnold, I want to ask you, you know, you're part of the History Generals. You're part of the Sport Karate Museum. How important is it that the sport karate history is preserved? And how important is the work that, you know, I do 24/7? How important is the museum?
You know, I didn't know you were going to ask that question, and I'm so glad you did, because I was visiting with Alan Steen today. And it's not like I get to talk to him all the time. This is the very first time I've ever talked to him on the telephone. But he was telling me about the generations of black belts that are coming up now. And he was telling me all the things that he sees in the martial arts and some of the things that he's really impressed with and some of the things that he just does not care for. And I was telling him about our testing is still an old-fashioned black belt test. And people say, well, you know, how do you keep, you know, how do you have that many black belts and you keep them? And they, I mean, the ascent weekend that we have, the people that are going up on that stage, we have about 26 black belts going on the stage, and about 14 of them have been with me over 10 years. And 3 of them have been with me for 30 years. So these people, we've grown up, we're family, and they've grown up with me as martial artists, and they've grown up with me through our trials. I've watched their children be born. I've seen their parents die. I mean, we are close. And Mr. Steen was saying, you know, these black belt tests today, you know, they last an hour or they do this. And I said, no, sir, I don't think you understand. Our test is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We rest on Friday because Saturday is hard. And my point is that generations of black belts are different. And I'm not saying they're better or worse. I'm just saying they're different. The values of a black belt that we grew up with, where we earned our black belt, we got the living piss beat out of us, and we were able to wear it. When I was 14 years old, I was scared of black belts because I knew every one of them could kill me. And now, in this day and age, everybody's wearing a black belt. And that really, really upsets me. And the reason for this weekend is for us to show, you know, we're not the greatest black belts in the world, but I can tell you right now, we have a story. We have one guy going for his fifth degree. He's had 3 knee surgeries and 1 hip replacement. Well, he's going for his fifth degree black belt, and he can kick you in the head right now. And if he can still do that after all of this that he's gone through, then I think that that's a pretty amazing guy. We have one guy that he's 73 years old, tested for his third degree, and he's had 5 heart attacks. But he works out with me 3 to 4 to 5 days a week. And we lift weights, and we run, and we kick, and we punch.
So it's important that their history is remembered, not just in competition,
right,
just their effort
right,
that they
right.
did.
That's and exactly the, right.
You know, I agree with you on the test. I mean, you know, it was a big deal having Mr. Steen sit on Garrett's test for 4 hours. And I realized that all those guys, 30 of them, sitting for 4 hours, I did give them one break. But it's really important that the right people are sitting there that witness what you do. And
what we found out was they don't want to sit there 4 hours. They don't. They
right.
want to see amazing martial arts. and then it doesn't seem like 3 to 4 hours. When they see amazing martial arts, they want to be out there doing it with them. They remember when they were young. They remember getting out there and performing. They remember that. Mr. Young was talking this past Saturday. He said, I can't wait to get out. I wish I could get out there again. I'd do it right now. And he's sitting there just chomping at the bit to get out there and be a black belt again. And that's what we want to bring.
Oh, that's my question. A little more surgery. How important it is to the Fred Wrens and the Skipper Mullins and the Alan Steens and Jordan Minshews and the Royce Youngs that they're remembered through the Sport Karate Museum? How important is that?
What you do is priceless. I mean, there's nobody. That era of black belts, that old blood and guts Texas karate, and not only there, but around the world. I was talking to Master Bill Clark, and he said, you know, up in Ohio, we were pretty good. Now, we weren't good as Dallas, but we were pretty good. And that was how they were known in the 60s and the 70s. And my point is that we, as a body of believers in martial arts, we believe that our martial arts brings those Christ-like values to people. We don't quit. We don't give up. Our word is our bond. We don't cheat people. We are the people who you can look up to, and we teach with integrity. And my point is this weekend, we only brought in people that have really, really impacted the martial arts in a positive way. They've not cheated people. They've not stolen, or they've not been false. You know what I mean? They're really, really good people. And we got Al Garza coming. My gosh, look at Al Garza. Wow. We've got. Yes. Like I told you, Troy Dorsey does not do seminars. We got Troy Dorsey coming. You know, and we got people that y'all don't even know about. A guy named Johnny Gurrell who will fight anybody in the room. And he trains 5 to 6 days a week, and he's been my friend for 35 years. So you've got guys that people don't even have got the chance to meet. John Gayson was coming, but the weather got him, and John Gayson's one of my good buddies. And you know, that guy trains 5 to 6 days a week, and he teaches private lessons at 6 a.m. in the morning. They are real martial artists who are still doing it, still doing the deed, and I love that, and I can't wait for this weekend. And you asked me
I love about what you told me tonight that really emphasizes what I assumed. But I really love the fact that you've got everybody that was part of your beginnings being there.
They're all
that is really, really cool. I'll tell you the coolest part. Yeah.
In seventh grade, I got beat up 3 days in a row by the same kid. And that young man is going to be there, and I'm going to tell him thank you for changing my life.
Wow. That is really special. You know, let me ask you a question, and I do this with my heavy hitters, and to me, you're a heavy hitter. Someone walks in off the streets here at Karate Dojo. Everybody's gone. You're there by yourself. But he walks in, and you can tell that he's an animal. And you tell he's from the street, pretty rough. What would be the first thing you say to a guy like that if he wants to take karate?
Welcome. Come on in. We'd love to have you. As a matter of fact, you know, it's going to take me about 5 minutes, and I'm going to find out if he's a believer or not. And that's all.
And now
I
we
hear
say
about,
believer,
you know,
believer of believe spiritually
believer of
or
Christ.
Believer
of Christ, okay. Believer of how to. And by the way, right behind that is if he loves to fight. And you can tell in 5 minutes whether somebody is a believer in Christ and whether they have an aggressive spirit or not. And what I love about this is we have one thing that we're supposed to do on this earth while we're here, and that's serve God. We don't have any other job except to serve God. And if we serve God with everything we have, then God will smile and he'll say, well done. And my point is that if a guy like that come in off the street and I found out that spirit, and I've watched Troy Dorsey do this, by the way. Troy Dorsey has done this. He walks in and somebody knows him or sees him, and I've seen him say, by the way, do you know the Lord? And he's real smooth, real cool about it, but he is amazing. And my point is that if those guys come in and they want to learn to fight, we can teach them how to fight. That's just the bottom line. We can teach them how to fight. We love that. We have something in common with those guys already. But if we can teach them who Jesus Christ is, then they will never, ever, ever leave. they'll never leave. They'll love it from now on. We have a connection. And that's the truth.
Well, that's very special. That's a very special answer. Let me ask you a question, which I probably already know the answer to it. What do you want people to remember Rick Arno? How do you want people
to
remember
him? He served his family well. He served his family well. His name was good. He served the Lord.
What do you want people to remember you in karate, in your karate service?
Oh, well, that he kept his word, that he honored people, that he was loyal to his instructors, that he tried his hardest, that he wanted to be a good example for young people, that he was a good role model for his four children as a black belt, and his wife.
Well, she's on crutches, huh? Golly bum. Which leg was it?
It was her left foot. She's on one crutch. Yeah,
one
so
crutch.
She's on one crutch, yeah. She's hobbling around, but she's good. Let me tell you, my wife is a warrior. She is strong, and she is good. And she will not give up. And by the way, in July, we are going to invite everybody to her black belt testing. And, you know, people think that I should give her her black belt.
I'd like to do this. If you allow me to do this, I would like to do this. I would like to contribute an honorary diploma from the Sport Karate Museum, and I'll have everybody sign it this weekend, and you can present it to her at the test. Okay.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yep, that would be fantastic.
I'll bring a diploma from the museum, and I'll make a showdown first degree level certificate, and I'll get all the guys to sign it and present it to you, and you just give it to her whenever you feel right. Okay?
No, you better give it
because
to me.
Because you know what?
I won't do that.
I'm not Uncle Us for no reason at all. I'm Uncle Us because I love you guys for adopting me. And, you know, you're one of the few Texas families that really understand me. So God bless you.
Yeah.
I can't thank you enough for being on the show tonight, Rick. I mean,
yeah.
This has been very special, just talking about the history of karate and talking about some of our friends and talking about what you're doing this weekend. And I want to I believe I'm talking for the people I've talked to. And I've talked to most of them that they're excited about being there and they're looking forward to spending time together because of your vision of putting this together and honoring the black belts, as you said, with an old-fashioned presentation and way.
Yep.
So,
by the way, I just want to finish you up.
Go ahead.
Real quick, we have two people. We have actually three students coming from Africa, and they are my friends from Africa, and they're real strong Christian people from Africa, and we're going to honor them that weekend. So if these all of our listeners, whoever there, please bring a gift, something to them, something. It might be a uniform, an old uniform. It might be a Texas thing. It might be an America thing. Whatever it is, we're asking for y'all to bring something to our African friends. And the reason I'm telling you that is this is part of my daughter's 501c3 nonprofit statuses. It's making a difference in the people's lives of Africa. And we're going to send a whole bunch of stuff back home with her.
Cool. That's very cool. Well, we'll definitely put that word out. And having three people from Africa come into your event, that's a heavy-duty thing. That's a long ways. That's more than a bus ride. That's about a two-day flight, right?
Yes, it is a two-day flight. Yes.
Wow.
It is.
Now, they're black belts? They're actually black belts?
Oh, yeah. They're actually two of
them
are black belts, and then one of them's son is coming. Yeah. Yeah, they're taekwondo
now,
black belts.
How'd you hook up with someone from Kenya?
Well, I've just traveled around the world, you know, and met them at events, and they came to America to a seminar that I was a part of, and we just hooked up as Christian buddies, and we just made a connection. It's a God thing. That's all I can say.
Wow. That is very, very special. Well, anything you'd like to say before I close out my show, anything particularly? Make sure you tell them the number. They can call you for tickets and how to actually contact you if they want to come and actually see the show on Saturday night and how much it costs. Got to give me all that information now.
Sure, sure. First of all, I want to tell you, Gary Lee, thank you. You are an amazing gentleman, and I love your servant heart and your servant attitude, how you help so many people.
Thank you.
Anybody who wants to come to our event, it's you just go online. It's allaboutmad.net, allaboutmad.net, and that's Making a Difference. So it's allaboutmakingadifference.net. You go to the Ascent Weekend, and it will give you all the details. And we encourage you to come in on Friday because there's so many amazing seminars. But if you can't, that's okay. We have a reception Friday night, and then Saturday morning we kick off our, like I said, we kick off our small tournament, and then Bill Wallace goes, and then we're going to have the Ascent show. And it is a show that you will not forget. It's amazing. So we're going to honor some wonderful people, but it's
yeah.
exciting. Yep, yep.
I can't wait. And, you know, I'm excited about having the booth and table there and just to share the memorabilia of the Sport Karate
yep.
Museum. Well, God bless you, Rick Arnold,
booths.
And tell your family
yep.
I love
yep.
them. Sir, go ahead.
Yep.
Say that.
Yep. I
look
forward
well, you
to
say something
Thursday,
else. What
did
you say?
Mr. Gary Lee.
Yep. Oh, yeah, I'll see you Thursday night. Absolutely. You're going to pick
That's
up
right.
Mr. Smith, and I'll see you Thursday night. And
yes,
but you know what? We're going to have a great time. And guess who just walked in? Mr. Garrett Lee.
Who?
Garrett, say hello to Rick Arnold.
Hey, Mr. Arnold, how are you doing, sir?
Hey
my friend. Arnold. Good morning, Garrett. Hello.
Yeah, he just walked in. God bless you, man. Well, anyway, I love you, Rick
okay.
Arnold. I'll see you Thursday.
All right, sir.
Thank you for being on the show. And God bless you, buddy. Thank you for sharing tonight.
Thank you, sir. All right.
God
Good
bless
night.
You. Good night. Hey, everybody. That was Mr. Rick Arnold. What a blessing it was to be able to share his faith and also his vision of putting this all together and showing the love and respect that he has for the martial arts in America. And as we said earlier, we're going to have three tables there setting up, selling a book. We'll have swords and have the Japanese samurai prints, and we'll have autographed pictures of Troy Dorsey and Bill Wallace and an incredible package also if you want some souvenirs. God bless Rick Arnold. God bless his vision to put us all together for this event, the Ascent Black Belt Weekend. So this show has been brought to you by the AMA Masters Radio and Network. And as we always say, every week, mahalo and aloha.